Let's check now in on the futures markets. On the phone line with us to recap what happened today is Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. How are you?
Well, it's gray and cold. I've been better, but it's October, so that's the way it happens, I suppose.
I would agree.
Tell me about the marketplace and what you saw.
Well, it was nice to see corn, beans, and wheat all higher today. You know, when you looked at these corn, we continue to be range-bound, you know, with that 450, 452 area overhead major resistance. And in the last 3 weeks, we haven't been able to get through it. We got to 449 and three quarters. I don't doubt that that may continue to be the case until we get through the November 8th report. You know, and the big question, of course, is going to be between this week and next week when the USDA cleans up all the export sales that we missed, will we see that China bought a lot of corn or a lot of beans during the shutdown? Certainly on everybody's mind. There's no question about that. And yet, when you looked at the export market today, you know, it was interesting to see it up, the corn market up as much as it was, because it was almost like you know how it was in grade school. If you were a homely girl, you might have stood on the side for a long time. You'd have to say the U.S. was the homely girl in the export market, because they just didn't get any business from anybody. Everybody's going over into Brazil at the moment. And I think that, you know, that's related to rumors that we've heard that corn is as low as $1.99 U.S. just because they're trying to get anything out of it that they possibly can. And so that'll probably be the case, and we'll see that as competition for a while yet.
And why would they do that? Is it just that they have shipped it all into their ports? They have to clear it out for soybeans eventually because they can only handle one at a time. They don't have a way to store it for very long. What's happening there, do you think?
Well, the only thing that I would, I guess I'd say speculate on is that, you know, they underestimated the ability of their infrastructure to be able to handle the big increases that they made this last year. And so there was a lot of corn that we heard anyway laying out in piles out in the countryside. And, you know, that climate is really not conducive to continuing to keep any kind of grain. So I think what they're doing is making a desperate attempt to recoup any kind of money that they can. You know, when you look at the fact that it costs somewhere between 2.25 and 3.25, maybe even 3.5 to haul it from parts of Mato Grosso, where the most corn is grown, down to the ports, $1.99 is really not a real good deal, you know. And so I just think they're just trying to recoup what they can, and this is going to go on. It's typical. You know, we're fortunate because we have good infrastructure. They just underestimated the ability of the infrastructure, and now they're stuck with a product that's either going to rot or they have to get rid of it somehow. So, it's desperation is what it is.
So they're trying to move it before it goes bad, or is this going to get rejected on the other end?
I think they're trying very desperately to move it before it gets really bad. You know,
it might get rejected.
It might get rejected. I have no idea because I haven't seen it, but I do think that is a big part of it.
Exports playing a big deal today from the United States. That was one of the things that, of course, coming out of Brazil for corn. Soybeans, on the other hand, an export to where? Russia today.
That's right. And you could see the export market certainly react to it, and the futures market reacted immediately. You saw a lot of short covering come out. We ended up lower. We went up and tested overhead resistance in the November bean market at that 1317, 1322 area. That's resistance both on the daily and the weekly, and couldn't close above it. But the reality is we haven't seen Russia come in and buy any beans since April of 2001. And so this is significant. There's absolutely no question about that. It's a circumstance where it was a total shock, I believe, to everybody. They weren't even on the radar.
Why would they be in?
Well, it's one of those things that, having done nutrition consulting, I would have to say that I believe that, you know, the beans, of course, are a protein, and they're a protein source, and perhaps they're looking to supplement some of the protein that they may not have available from some of the wheat. You know, because wheat is a really great product from the standpoint that it, you know, it's high in protein and it also has a limited amount of energy. Well, you know, if they have enough corn and not enough wheat, they may just use beans in its place. But I really don't know. That's the only thing that sticks out in my mind as a possibility. But it's interesting. I think it's more of a statement on what their climate's like right now and some of the concerns that we have. You know, Black Sea wheat is having a tough time. Because of dry weather, Argentine problems because of dry weather, And so I think the idea that Russia came in is maybe more of a statement on what their weather's really like there compared to what we necessarily hear about.
Okay, turn your attention right into the wheat market. For the U.S., looks like we'll be planting a few more acres.
Oh, my. I'm a little nervous about that. I mean, I know our window is closing rapidly, but at the very same time, I have never had so many calls with guys talking about how wheat pencil is so much better than corn because of the input costs and, you know, because of where our insurance levels are. And actually, we've been recommending to guys to hedge, do some type of fence or something like that at this point, because we're trading in most cases, at least on KC and on Chicago, about 30 cents higher than what their wheat insurance price is. And so I think that this is an opportunity that's there. You know, when you look at the ratios, you look at the prices for next year's corn, guys are going to be looking for opportunities. And I just think that you have to be thinking ahead. And we don't know what next year's growing season is going to be like, but that doesn't make a difference. You have to believe that we are going to have a normal growing season. And we know for sure one of these days we'll get one.
Any best advice for those who have unpriced corn that they're hauling out of the field at this point?
Well, I'll tell you what. It depends upon what they're doing, Todd. If they're putting it in town, there is absolutely no question that they have to do something to preserve the carry in the market. Why would you do that otherwise, except that you think maybe the basis is going to get better? But at the very same time, you have to be conscious of the environment that we're in. If we end up with a 13.8 billion bushel crop, if we come in on November 8th with higher harvested acres and potentially higher yield, we then begin to move back to that time frame when futures get better, basis gets poorer. Basis gets better, futures go lower. And so if you're going to make the decision to haul it in and actually store it or store it at home, you've got to cover your carry. You know, there's just no two ways about it. You have to protect yourself. Same thing if you're buying more land. You better be protecting yourself because you're investing money you've worked hard for or you've borrowed, and you just cannot take a chance on where we could go with this marketplace.
Turn your attention to the livestock. Let's start with the cattle, please.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I don't know if you saw Orion the other day, but I said on Orion, I think there's more bulls at home in the offices than there are in the whole field everywhere because, boy, they are bullish. There's no question. And you can see it. I mean, technicals look good. A lot of guys are hoping for 140, but I thought this would be a good thing, Todd. You know, a rule of thumb says that if we're going to get to a 140 on cattle in the deferreds, we need to hold cutout prices at 2.25. And we're currently at $1.99. The other circumstances, it could be very tough. They are grinding just huge amounts of meat, and it's actually to the point now where it's limiting certain cuts of meat in the stores, and mostly because of fast food consumption. So we're consuming it, but it's changing the playing field, basically, what it's doing. We're slowly growing exports. That's a good thing. Japan's the biggest buyer that we've got, you know, and our biggest competitor. You know, we usually look to the pig to be the biggest competitor. Right now it's poultry. You know, poultry is going to give us the biggest run for the money, but I think these guys really need to be thinking about that when they're thinking about putting cattle in. Be looking at what the cutout prices are and what our possibilities are. You know, if you're setting your sights that high, it's possible that maybe futures could get there, but will you get it in cash? That's probably unlikely.
And finally, the hogs, they're bucking the seasonal trend?
They really are. Every time they try to go into the seasonal downtrend, we get a bounce back up. Kind of interesting things gone that not thinking about before, but mandatory pricing did come in. Mandatory reporting came in this year in 2013 to the USDA. So we are starting to get what seems to be a little more accurate numbers. And, you know, the hog situation is one where, you know, we had the PED virus, which took out a lot of baby pigs. But we don't have a good handle on how many baby pigs it took out. And so, you know, I believe the traders are looking at the market and saying, I think that we're going to be short and we're going to have a smaller amount of hog inventory as we go down the road. But 2012, I thought this was interesting. The per capita meat production or consumption, excuse me, was the lowest since 1991 at 220 pounds a person. So, you know, It's going to be interesting. It's going to really be related, I think, to the jobs number. And if we see people getting back to work and more jobs coming out, then I think we'll start to see consumption again pick up.
Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon.